This is tape number 20, Near Death Preacher Interviews, October 26, 1983, side one.
Mr. Preacher, give me your views on the governor's race, 1983.
Well,
first of all, you were a big supporter of Harvey Sloan.
Well, I was a long time supporter of Harvey Sloan. I've known Harvey Sloan ever since he came to Kentucky. I expect that Barry Bingham and I were the first two friends that he made when he moved here in the early 1960s. I can't remember just the year, but it was, 64 perhaps, when he came here to work in eastern Kentucky on that survey of children's health conditions up in, I believe, Martin County. But he had an apartment in Frankfort and sort of commuted between Frankfort, where he was assigned to the state health department, and the field in Martin County. And he had been a friend of a woman I knew in Washington named Kay Halley, who came from Cleveland, where her family owned a large department store. And she was the sister-in-law of Dr. Kreil, of the Cleveland, head of the Cleveland Clinic. And she was sort of a Washington hostess and a close friend of Randolph Churchill's over many years, and sort of a Washington figure. And so when Harvey came to Kentucky, she either wrote or called me, or perhaps both, and told us, Lucy and me, about him. And Harvey used to come over and spend weekends at our place in Woodford County. We had an old riding horse over there then, and he used to go ride a while. And he'd play softball with our children. We became very close friends. And so I have always been a supporter of Harvey. I probably was a less enthusiastic supporter in some ways this year than I was 4 years ago. Not because I liked him any less, but because I felt that there was something a little different about him. Like 4 years ago, he was a white knight. This time, he seemed to lack the coherence and cohesiveness that his campaign had before. That didn't make me any less willing to be for him, but I didn't feel the sort of lift that I got 4 years ago. And I thought he made some strategic and tactical mistakes, which I've commented on elsewhere. But certainly I was a supporter, and I think I would be again. I was tempted by Stumbo. I got to know Grady when he first came to Frankfort. I had heard of him before. I never had really met him, but I had heard of him before. And people like David Hall, Mark Landy, and other people that I knew who had connections in eastern Kentucky and in Knott County admired him very much. And I'd heard these good things about his work up there and his clinic. And I was one of those that urged Governor Brown to appoint him as Secretary of Human Resources. And I worked with him during his tenure there. We consulted very frequently. He appointed me on a governor's task force on the containment of health care costs. And I admired him very much. And when he came to me to talk about the governor's race, I told him, I said, if I were God and could pick a governor, I'd have a hard time choosing between you and Harvey. But I said, I have a long-time commitment to Harvey, and I'm not going to break that commitment, and I'm not going to change. And we ended that conversation on a very friendly note. And my two children, my two sons, both supported Grady in this race. My son Louis was extremely active for him. really was had a rather prominent part in his campaign. But I stuck by Harvey, and I attended meetings nearly every Sunday at his home, where we had little strategy sessions. Governor Combs and Bill Wester and Joe Terry, Jim King. We would discuss various issues. And yet I had an ominous feeling about his candidacy somehow. My feeling was that he ought to win the race, but that somehow it was going to be a very tight fit, because I thought with the two candidates running, that Martha Lane Collins, with the contacts she built up in the small communities particularly, and her personal acquaintance with so many people, cultivated so carefully over so many years, would have a base that would be hard to erode, and that with two opponents, with one opponent, I think she would have been very easy to beat, with two opponents, hard to beat. But even with all of those adverse factors, I think Harvey could have won, and won despite some mistakes he made in his campaign, had not the governor entered the picture in the very last of the thing, and had not this infusion of money come at the last phase of the campaign. And I think that moved Grady up enough to make it a tight three-way split, and Martha Lane simply held the base that she had at the start. I think all of our polls showed that she probably got anywhere from 2 to 3% less of the total vote than she started out with a year before. But it was enough to win.
Just for the record here, let me say that we have yet to talk about, to talk completely about the Ford administration, the Carroll administration, and the Brown administration.
But because this is current and on our minds, I want to talk about this campaign today.
Strategy to handle the woman question? Or do you have a strategy for it?
Well, I think there were some differences of opinion. My strategy on handling the woman question was to leave it alone, because it was my feeling that, anybody that was going to vote against Martha Lane because she's a woman was going to do it anyhow. And I didn't think it was either becoming or appropriate for Harvey Sloan to raise the sexist, to take the sexist side. And I was outraged when his media consultant ran a commercial in which it showed Harvey on a firing range at the state police barracks in what was obviously a macho sort of episode. And it was the same thing I knew, which this same consultant had used against the woman who was defeated by Governor Winter in Mississippi 3 years before. And I didn't like that at all. And I think the truth is that the woman issue, insofar as it affected the primary, hurt Harvey, because that particular thing turned women off. But his stand on the abortion issue, I'm convinced, was enough alone to lose him the 3,000 votes that was the difference between him and Martha Lane. And it was the stupidest political ploy that anybody ever did. He got the right to life endorsement and lost big in the counties where the right to life people were supposed to be strong, and it lost him. Well, it lost him votes, and it lost him enthusiasm from among the women who are really what I call movement women, highly conscious of the women's issue. Now, Martha Lane's strength among women was not among the militant activists, politically motivated type of women, but more the quiet women who liked attention, maybe some of the B and PW types, who just looked on her as a woman that was comfortable, and they were comfortable with her. And there wasn't much you could do with them. As to the people who wouldn't vote for a woman, I think that was really an exaggerated proposition. I doubt if there were that many. And if there were, Harvey had nothing to gain by trying to make it an issue or even subliminally make it an issue.
Do you think Stumbo attempted to make it an issue, or did he simply run against Harvey Sloan?
I think he ran mostly against Harvey Sloan. I saw of no. In a sense, both candidates tried to make leadership an issue and experience an issue and the records of themselves as an issue. And in that sense, you might call it a sort of secret woman's issue. You know, was Martha Lane weak in leadership because she's a woman, or weak in leadership because she's just weak? Was she weak in leadership? Was she lacking in experience because she didn't have the guts to do anything in public life, or was she lacking in experience because she was a woman and timid? Those are questions that, you know, I would answer in a different way. Some people might call that a sort of secret woman's issue. I think it just related to her as a person. No, I think Grady shot primarily at Harvey, because they were shooting for the same constituency, Vic.
How do you account for Martha Lane's poor showing in Western Kentucky, the 1st District? Obviously, Carroll Hubbard can't transfer his own popularity there.
Well, I'm not sure he's got that much popularity to transfer. I think... I think her weakness in the 1st District was really Stumbo's strength. First place, there is a much more of a labor-oriented vote in the 1st District than many people realize. You take counties like Hopkins, Muhlenberg, McCracken, Christian, Logan. There's some labor votes scattered all around there and highly concentrated in some of those places. And in the counties that are generally accounted rural counties down in the far west, there are a great many commuters. Then there's Marshall County. And think of the people that commute from counties like Lyon and Livingston and Fulton and Hickman that commute to Union Carbide in Paducah, commute to Calvert City, and... I think labor had a lot to do with it. But the second thing I think that helped Grady in the 1st District was his populism. The 1st District is sort of conservative in some ways on social questions. But it has also got a lot of a strain of populism. If you look at the history of populism in Kentucky when you really had populism, the Populist Party, the biggest vote that the populists got in Kentucky was in the 1st District. Second districts, the second district then being a lot of what's in the first now. So I think the combination of his populism, his anti-establishmentarianism, and his ties with labor helped him a lot in the first district.
Well, do you see the first district now enthusiastically supporting Collins?
Well, I don't know how enthusiastically any district is going to support anybody in this race. I think she'll carry the first district, but I should be surprised if she carried it by the kind of majority that Judy and Carol did, or the kind of majority that it gives in a banner year, but I don't think it's going to be dramatically close.
Is Harvey Sloan actively supporting him, and to what extent?
Well, he's doing he's doing what a good party man is supposed to do. He's made some speeches. He spoke somewhere in Louisville the other day. He's attended various functions. I don't think that he's tearing his heart out for
him. How effective would it be in Jefferson County or in the city of Louisville?
Well, I think less effective than it would be if he really was putting everything he had into it. I don't think he's trying to cut her up. I don't think he's trying to beat her. I don't think he's trying to, you know, organize a secret bolt. I just think he's doing his duty and no more. And people in Jefferson County tell me they think the results are going to be close there. And I know some Democrats, Sylvia Watson told me the other day, she thinks Bunning will carry it by a small majority. Now, I'd be surprised. I think the Republican Party is pretty weak in Jefferson County as an organization, and the Democrats, with all their jackassery in Jefferson County, still probably have some kind of a party organization and a party hold. And if I had to make a guess, I would guess it'd be a fairly close result, but Martha Lane might carry it a little bit. But I wouldn't be surprised if he carried it a little bit.
Will the merger question interfere with the governor's race?
It might bring out a bigger vote. And that ought to help the Democrats. The anti-merger people are mostly Democrats. You know, the strength of the anti-merger people is in the south and southwest part of the county and in the west end among the blacks. Now, if they pour out, that's going to be a labor-type vote and a black-type vote, and that'll help the... And that ought to help the Democrats, ought it?
Well, one would think so. How do you view her running in Northern Kentucky?
I think she'll run better in Northern Kentucky than you might think. I think she's got a pretty good organization up there. I think Bunning will carry it. Just through local pride, you know. The Lord knows that if there ever was a group of people that is peculiarly conscious of locality and region, it's Northern Kentucky. But I think she had unusual strength there in the primary.
Well, how would you...
But I would think Bunning would carry it. Now, you know, all these things could be just a little different. If Bunning really swept Northern Kentucky, if he carried Jefferson County by a moderate majority, if he could run well in Fayette County, if the first district fell off, it could be a much closer race than people think. But I don't think the fifth district is going to come to give what it has to give. I think the fifth district is a very strange political animal. Despite the fact that they have eaten and been clothed and shod and fed by the Democratic Party for 50 years, they are still Republicans. And yet there's an increasing tendency under the surface in state and local politics for the Democrats to make gains there. The traditional regional alliances are weaker than they used to be. The Democrats are weaker in the first, the Republicans in the fifth, in the sense that people will stray.
How would you describe Martha Lane Collins?
I'm awful glad I have these restrictions. I think she's a bland, petulant, narrow, small-minded, timid, eager beaver. I think she, you know, perfectly nice, moral person.
But somewhat of a shrew.
Well, I think when you stick her, she can be a shrew, yes. And I think she's shown that since the time I said it. I think she showed it in the debate with Bunny. I think when she's pushed in a controversial or tight situation, she tends to be a bit shrewish.
Given the times, the state of the economy, what kind of governor will she make?
Well, given any kind of times, I think she'd make a weak governor. You know, we need a strong governor in good times, we need a strong governor in bad times. I think in bad times she will be a particularly weak governor, because a governor in bad times has to make more unpopular decisions. A governor in good times is perplexed by how to cut the pile, how to distribute the benefits of prosperity and of burgeoning revenues. A governor in bad times is perplexed by the problem of who's to suffer the misery. And I think that she's going to have a very hard time making decisive choices. Let's take the question of education. With all the talk about, you know, not throwing money at problems, there is no way that the quality of education can be dramatically improved in Kentucky without massive infusions of new money. And I cannot see her courageously facing up to that. And contrary to what some people think, I'm not sure that the legislature, at the proper time and in the final shove and push, might not be more willing to do it than she'd be. But without her leadership, they'll never do it by themselves.
What kind of governor would Jim Bunning make?
Oh, just a typical hard-headed Republican. You know, I think he'd be conservative, fiscally prudent, not have many new ideas. You know, except for the fact that he's kind of more abrasive on the surface than she is. I think he'd be just like she is, only more so.
What about some of the other candidates on the ticket? What are your thoughts on Steve Beshear?
Well, the Democratic ticket has much higher quality down the line than it has at the top. I think Steve Beshear is a very brilliant fella.
Would you describe him as a visionary?
Not anymore. I used to think so. I think he's become, if anything, a little too practical. Steve Beshear in the legislature was a hero of mine. I thought he was right on almost every issue. He was articulate, well-educated, and is bright. I think he's extremely energetic. He's a good organizer. I think he has a fine intellect. I think ambition sometimes has eaten away at principle as he's been Attorney General. Not always. He's done some, you know, his opinion on the Ten Commandments. Well, it's the only thing he could do, but it was right. He's been right on abortion. I felt in some of his things, particularly in the area of consumer protection, a few opinions he wrote for the governor, that he fudged some, but, you know, nobody can be perfect. I have a high opinion of Steve Beshear.
What about Alice McDonald?
Above average, highly political. Pretty intelligent, allied with forces in the Department of Education that are good and that have a good vision, people like Laurel True and Don Hunter. She'll be above average. She is highly political and highly ambitious.
Dave Armstrong.
Well, I think Dave is a good man. Well qualified to be Attorney General. Pretty strong law and order man. But I don't think an extremist. I think he's intelligent, well organized. In this primary, we had three first-class candidates for Attorney General.
Yes, I
agree. I just wish to hell that we had had that many good candidates for some other offices, because I don't think anybody could have made a mistake picking any one of those three boys that ran for Attorney General. Bill Weinberg, Larry Greathouse is a first-class fellow. Bill Weinberg's a good man. I voted for and supported Bill on account of Lois and Judge Combs and been a friend of his. But Larry Greathouse has been a good, close friend of mine, and I've admired him. And during the Ford administration, I had a very close relationship with Larry Greathouse. And I've known David Armstrong for years. I begged him to run against Mitch McConnell for county judge. And he was scared, didn't think he could win. I told him he could. And I think everybody that looks back on it knows now that if he'd have run, he'd have beat Mitch to death.
What about Francis Jones Mills?
A sleazy idiot. A disgrace to public office. And a fool and a jackass to boot.
So how do we ever beat her?
I don't know. I think if you got a strong person who had a lot of name recognition and wasn't the type of person that would ordinarily run for treasurer, maybe some outstanding business person or something, who had some money, I think you could beat her easily. But it's just a question of the fact that she's known everywhere. She isn't beloved. People just know her, and she's got a lot of little, in a way, except she's much more offensive. She's got a lot in common with Martha Lane Condon, in that she's got all these small-town connections with all these small-fry people, and they all come out and vote for her. But really, if you had a candidate of caliber and name recognition and ability to raise some money, you could beat her.
How about Drex Davis?
Oh, Drex is kind of a howdy-doody. I mean, he isn't as offensive as she is, but he's just a banker's stooge like she is. And, he's gone around, he belongs to one of these Kiwanis, one of these luncheon clubs, and he's been a district governor. Is it the Kiwanis?
No, Lions.
Lions, well, he's played that game. And again, if you're going to beat a person like that, you got to beat them with somebody. And it's hard to get somebody to run for an office like that because it isn't worth it.
But Marion Tobin.
Oh, I think she's a cut above what we're talking about. I've known Marianne since she was Breathitt's chairman at the University of Kentucky in 1963 when she was a student. And I think she's been a pretty good representative. I think she'll probably make a pretty good auditor. I don't know whether she can strike for anything, a whole lot higher. That remains to be seen. But I don't think Mary Ann's a discredit to the ticket.
What kind of relationship do you think Martha Lane will have with the legislature?
Well, Vic, you ought to know that better than I do. because you, I don't know anyone's in closer touch with the legislature than you are, much more so than I am. I have assumed that she would use the traditional tools of patronage. I assume that she would, in some ways, be inclined to let them call the turn, and that the leadership, you know, the people that she's closest to, it seems to me, outside of people that couldn't amount to anything, are people in the legislative branch, like Joe Prather, Ed Ford, and people like that. And I would assume that in some ways they'll call the shots. Now, I may be wrong, and, you know, you can say better about that than I do. I can't see her dominating the legislature, but I can see her getting along with them by doing nothing, and a lot of them don't want to do anything either. And when I say doing nothing, I mean taking no bold initiative. I don't know. I don't know how she and Bobby will get along. Obviously, Bobby's relationship with her is not of the best, or he never would have come out for abolishing the office just as soon as she was nominated for governor. But on the other hand, I don't know how much we're paying Bobby's got in the House, particularly with her as governor. You know, he had a little rebellion on his hands anyhow, didn't he?
Yes, yes.
And I'd say, you know, I don't know how good a schemer she is politically. I don't know how much she's got a hand at really taking a bold grip on the throttle. If she did, she could give him a lot of trouble in the House, Vic.
I think they'll reach an accommodation.
I would guess that's right. I think it, Bobby, I don't look on Bobby as a fellow that, you know, likes to carry on feuds. And she's probably better off with getting along with him, and he's better off getting along with her. And people usually do what makes them better off. I can't see her having a whole lot. What do you think? I can't see her having a whole lot of trouble with the legislature.
Well, she has control of the Senate as it is.
Well, sure.
Right through and right. And she's got.
Now, tell me about Wright. I sat next to Wright at this meeting of this task force the Chamber of Commerce got on education. And Joe Wright is a little different cut than some of these people. Joe told me that he was very much disturbed by the commitments he thought she'd made, by the inferior people that she seemed to be relying on, and that he had grave apprehensions. Now, does that surprise you?
No, but I think he'll be one of her key supporters in the Senate.
Yeah. Oh, and he was far in this race.
I think Joe is cut above. I think he's very objective. Fella, I think he means well.
And all these things he said were said very quietly, very, you know, thoughtfully.
Joe should be, if there is a mover and a shaker for education.
Right.
Joe Wright would certainly be chief among them. Imagine.
Well, Joe was worried about the lack of leadership. Worried about the inferior quality of some of the people, and above all about some of the commitments he thought she had made for appointments in her administration, which he regarded as very, very dubious.
Well, I think basically,
in particular, he mentioned people like Floyd Poor and Melvin Wilson.
Well, I think Joe Wright is an honorable person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he expressed those concerns legitimate concerns of his.
Well, what somewhat surprised me was the openness with which he discussed it. And he didn't talk bitterly. He talked like a person that was worried.
gosh, that's been a concern of a lot of people in Franklin, even people who support her.
Oh, yeah.
Was who's going to actually run the state government?
Well, and the people she's talking about, the people that, you know, I heard them long ago, and then Ed Ryan's had them in the paper, and everybody's had them in the paper, and I'd been hearing it ever since before the primary, so had you. It's unthinkable to me that Floyd Poor would be Secretary of Transportation. You know, it's like Caligula making his horse a consul. And Melvin Wilson is just a cheap, shady character. And this fellow down in West Kentucky that they say is going in the finance department, I forget his name now. Mack Thompson, isn't that him?
I believe that name, yes. Yes.
I've heard Gordon Duke's name mentioned. I don't think Gordon's a giant, but you know, Gordon does, you know, he does sort of know how the thing works. You know, he's never been what I think is a very strong person, and he let Julian spend the state into bankruptcy. Not that he could have stopped him, but he didn't try. I'd feel less uncomfortable with Gordon Duke than I would somebody like a Mack Thompson, though.
Yes. Yes.
Now, I don't know. I haven't heard any others. You heard anybody about revenue?
No. No, Larry Hayes is someone I've heard of.
Well, Chica didn't. He won the better ones.
I think Larry's very competent, young man.
Yeah.
Broad experience as an ad district director.
I don't think he's a heavyweight, but he's a good lightweight. Or a good middleweight. Larry Hayes is one of the less fearsome ones. I don't know him real well. Is he pretty much under Joe's shadow?
Yes. Yes, he's very much Joe's man.
Well, what's Joe aiming for?
I don't know. I think my personal opinion is that Joe will stay in the legislature, will stay on as president pro tem. He enjoys it. He doesn't need a job in administration.
Oh, I don't think he's going to administration. Do you think he's...
I think he might want to run for governor again someday, or run for governor someday. And I think he will keep his options open, but not necessarily... I don't think Joe will get too closely associated with this administration.
Well, Joe has in his own district and in the legislature, Joe has a status that's not dependent on Martha Lane.
Absolutely right.
And in some ways, he would weaken himself by too close an alliance. I mean, if I were Joe, and I'm not a confidant of his, in fact, I don't think he likes me. I was pretty strong for Bill Cox. I've never had any clashes with him about anything in particular, but I have a notion he doesn't care much for me. But Joe's, if I were Joe, I'd want to be on good terms with her, but retain my independent status.
I think that would be good advice.
Because Joe has a strength and a base of his own that's not dependent on her. It is notable that of her strong supporters, supposed strong men, hardly one of them carried his county for her. She ran third in Davis County. She lost Hardin County. She lost Graves County. May run third there. She ran third in Pike County, where Melvin Wilson came from. And lost Bill Collins' native county to Harvey. In other words, she was a better horse than her horses.
Well, it's going to be an interesting 4 years.
I'm not sure it is.
Oh, I think it will be. Politically, I'm not sure how the state's going
to
end up after.
I have felt almost that I'd like to be Rip Van Winkle and go to sleep for 4 years. I just...
Well, and of course, one thing is pretty certain is that Ed Ford will be the Secretary of Natural Resources.
Why does he want it?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. But I'm told he's really very, very interested.
Well, I'll say this. I'd rather see him have it than the others that were mentioned for him, except David Short. But Frank Harsher, just, you know, chills ran up and down my spine when I saw that, and I couldn't believe it.
No.
What does she have to gain by putting Frank Harsher?
Nothing.
That's something Harsher just promoted.
But if Ed Ford, interesting thing about Ed Ford, if he takes that job, then we've got a Senate race in our district.
That's right. Why don't you run for it?
Well, I'm happy where I am.
Well, if that's the case, don't run for it.
Happy where I am.
Who you think might run for it?
Well, I think Joe Barrels is interested in.
You don't think John Swinford will make it?
Well, I think John might well do it.
Well, I'd hate to see a race between Joe Barrels and John Swinford.
Well, I'm not sure if John...
The reason I'd hate to see it is I'd like to vote for both of them.
I'm not sure Joe would run if John were to announce.
You know, I'm crazy about Joe Barrels. I think he's a fine legislator and a fine person. And I've just, you know, I've loved John Swinford all his life. And
well, there's no want of good men in that district to run.
No what?
No want of good men. I think you have lots of people in the district who would make good senators. I think Jim LeMaster would make good senator. I don't think he'd give his position up in the House for him.
Jim has disappointed me a little bit. He is not as much of a leader as I hoped he would be. I'm not talking about floor leader, but just a leader.
You know, strange enough, I think the ability is there. But he just has not chosen to exercise it.
That's right. I agree with that.
And
he's played it too damn safe. Jim is certainly, you know, in my opinion, a very decent, honorable, good person. And I think above average intelligence. I'm not faulting him, but I just...
No, I know exactly what you mean.
I had more expectations of him than I have realized. Who else is in the picture? Possibly.
Well, your friend Jim Alexander might run.
Oh, well.
I'm just kind of jesting.
I would.
I think Mark Farrell would probably be interested in running that. I don't know what.
How well would he run in a district-wide race?
Well, I think he'd run off of one in Scott County.
Who's going to win the circuit judges race?
Well, I don't know. I would have said Knox was going to win it a month ago, but I think Henry's come on right strong the last month.
Henry's working hard.
He's working very hard.
And he's turned a few taps in Woodford County.
If he would just organize himself a blitz of the city in the major precincts the last week or so, I think he might pull it off. And, you know, with his kids and...
What's Mark doing?
Laying low. Laying very low. But I don't know what...
If I was Henry, I believe I'd get me a different commissioner if I won the election.
I can't see that Mark's doing anything at all for him. Maybe he is.
Why, you know he's not.
But I can't.
Mark is the best fella I ever saw at making both sides pay him to be neutral.
I haven't talked to Judge Mulhoy.
I haven't talked to Tony lately. I need to talk to him about a young lady that I'm going to recommend to him for a law clerk, if he hadn't already picked one. in law school. Brilliant girl. Friend of Nathan's. I've known her all her life. I haven't talked to Tony about it either. Is Tony for Knox?
I think so.
Just kind of had that.
And the reason I think that Jim Warren had a fish fry a month or two ago, and I'm not sure, but I think David came down with Tony, David Knox, which would indicate, of course, that
is Jim Owen for Knox?
Haven't talked to him one specifically, but my guess is he is.
Well, I expect a lot of those people have seen him when he's district judge and got to know him.
Well, I think that, but I think the fact, too, is that most of them don't give a damn.
Oh, of course.
They don't give a damn.
Well, I don't...
They don't want another Bobby Hall Smith.
I don't give a damn, in a sense. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, either one of them will be all right. I'm going to vote for Henry because I've known Henry all his life and I have strong family ties with the Pruitts and the Kaywoods. And I recommended to Brown that he appoint him. I'm like you, he better get in those big town precincts in Versailles and get somebody hustling.
Well, that'd be that. You know, I think that would almost cinch it for him. Because I don't see that Knox has got much of an organization. He's got a lot of people for him. But they're not going to do a hell of a lot.
Henry ought to hire a bunch of young boys.
Well, he's got a son up here in school that could organize some of his friends.
Mm-hmm. And just go house to house and then election day. See what everybody got there. Hell, I'll never forget that.
Well, they're not going to worry. In Winfrey County, they're not going to worry about people coming out to vote in this election.
On account of Martha Lane.
That's right. And Coleen. So it's just a matter of getting his name out to most people. Because most people don't know.
Won't Coleen win big?
Coleen's going to win awful big.
Well,
I'd
yeah.
I'd like to see her run ahead of Martha Lane.
I'll say this, she electioneered. She came by our house in the primary, came by again in the regular, left a card. I think Lucy was there one time. And we of course, were very much for her. She's all right.
She'll run the fishing office. The Moot girl has made lots of friends.
Oh, I don't say that there's anything wrong with her. They tell me she's all right as a person. I just don't want to see her Republican.
Well, let me ask you about
it. Ask you something. Was there any political feedback or whatever you want to call it from the trial of Hargis Sexton?
Not that I heard.
Hank Grady was so bitter against Judge Pruitt about it. But Judge Pruitt told me, Henry told me, that Hank messed the thing up. And that Hank insisted on having a night session of the court. And then at 2:00 in the morning, talked to the jury for 2 hours and a quarter.
Great God. I hadn't heard that.
And he says that's one reason that Hargis was cleared. They just got wore out with Hank. Well, you know Hargis was guilty as hell. By hell, he's a Navy. He's been a crook all his life. And his only defense was he's stolen so much he was rich and didn't have to steal anymore.
But I'll never understand why Gentry appointed Hank Grady as his assistant. That's just never what I understand. Not even if he explains it to me.
Hank, as Lucy says about Hank, he just loves the sound of his own voice. Hank can't stand to stay quiet. He belongs on some of these environmental things with Lucy. And she says he just talks all the time. Lucy's friend Mike Green said something funny about Mike, about Hank. Lucy says, "I think Hank has political ambitions." Mike says, "Too short."
Mike's a good man.
I like Mike.
Yes.
He's a decent fellow. But anyway, Lucy just loves him. But anyway, I think there'll be some votes against David Knox in Scott County. I think John Hagen Cooper's against him. I don't know why.
Well, John Hagen, I don't know where John Hagen still has, I assume he still has some strength over there.
Oh, he wouldn't be dominant, but I'm not, David will carry the county. But I think there may be more votes against him over there than some people think.
Well, I just have imagined that it was going to be one in Woodford County, because votes going to be so heavy. And I figured David would carry Scott and Henry would carry
Bourbon.
But the big vote, the actual big vote, is going to be in Woodford County.
How big was the vote in the primary? About 4,000?
No, more than that. I want to say around 6,000. Because she had 1,900 against her.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she had about 3,900.
Now that may be right. But you know, it's amazing she had 1,900 against her.
Well, that was Bill Collins.
Well, of course.
Well, let me ask you about a Republican, since this has been a hell of a week for us. What about Reagan and his foreign policy?
Yeah. Well, I think foreign policy may be the same sort of a millstone around his neck that it turned out to be for Carter. I think that the Lebanon situation may well be his hostage crisis. I think his Central American policy is questionable. I think there's a lot of opposition to that. He has not resolved any foreign policy question in a way that brings a president into an extremely favorable light, such as Nixon's détente. I mean, I'm not arguing now the rightness or wrongness of Nixon's policies, but Nixon's move to with China and his détente with Brezhnev were unquestionably big political assets for him. I don't see anything with Reagan. We're almost back to the Cold War. His arms control policy is highly controversial. He's tried a couple of times to move in a direction that would bring about a bipartisan foreign policy in Europe on arms control, and he's never quite made it. I think his Central American policy is not popular. I think Grenada was kind of an effort of Reagan's to fight a war that he couldn't lose and take attention away from Lebanon. If he makes a big play for China next spring, he's going to get the Taiwan lobby mad at him again, his own right flank. I don't know. Foreign policy may be end up being the Democrats' secret weapon if they don't get so far implicated in Reagan's maneuvers that they're in no position to take advantage of it. And I'm rather disturbed by Tip O'Neill's patriotic adherence to his posture in Lebanon. I think the best things Reagan has done in foreign policy, I don't know that the most popular, I think his original effort to do something on the Palestinian issue was pretty good. His proposal for a sort of federation with Jordan of the West Bank, that was the best thing he's done in foreign policy. I think Shultz is one of the best men in his cabinet, but Shultz is always having his heels nipped at by these nuts and extremists. I think the issue of the missiles in Europe is going to continue to be a troublesome one. I don't think it's going to die. I think the missiles will probably be deployed, and I fear some very dangerous reactions by the Soviet Union. I don't know what they'll be.
What has Grenada done to our moral posture, if anything?
Well, if anything, it's hurt it. The question is how significant it is. In some ways, the American people don't worry as much about our moral posture as they do about, you know, how much trouble we're in and how many Americans are getting killed and how much we're in danger and in trouble. I think there will be a reaction about Grenada that it was a sort of our Afghanistan. But how? The difference is that the Soviet Union is bogged down in Afghanistan as we were in Vietnam. And we're not going to be bogged down in Grenada. It's a lot like kicking a cripple. But I think to the extent there is a reaction, it'll be, and it's notable that our allies are all against us on it. You know, except for the little Caribbean governments. But Mexico and all the South American governments are outraged. Mrs. Thatcher is critical. I don't know. I don't think Grenada has really helped him. I think it. I think Lebanon is much more serious. First place, there have been many more lives lost in Lebanon. There have just been a few lives lost in Grenada. Or was it two or three Americans killed?
Let me switch this right quick, please.